Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is 1 Corinthians 4, the verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. Let's read those verses and pay attention to two key words, the word steward and the word judge. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that the man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not he by justify, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Stewards, judged at God's time. I think that's what it is about. Stewards, judged at God's time. Three thoughts. Faithful stewards. Let the man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Secondly, judged by God. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not he by justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. See that? Is the Lord. And in the third place, at his time. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come. Stewards, judged at God's time. Faithful stewards, judged by God at his time. Congregation, the Apostle Paul feels tense. He feels criticized. He feels very serious. He has a message. And he is disappointed and touched in his heart. And he's wondering what he should do. For example, in the last verse of chapter 4, he says, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, with a stick, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? So he feels kind of upset by something. He's tense, and he warns, and he defends himself. And he's wondering if he should come with a stick or with love and with meekness. See, there's something happening. And when the Apostle Paul feels judged by people, I think that's what it is. He feels judged by people. Then he reminds them of the fact that he is not the boss. That certain things are not his responsibility. Is just obedient. The Lord told me to do that. The Lord told me to say that. I can't help it. I'm only a minister. I'm only a steward. See, that's the context. Well, there's a whole list of things in this epistle the Apostle Paul mentions about people criticizing him and he not agreeing with them. You know, you remember there were divisions among them. One says, I'm for Apollos, and someone else is for Paul, and there's this factions in the congregation, divisions, disagreements, and they're looking for worldly wisdom, and they opposed the Apostle Paul, and they were suing people in secular court, and they lack grace to them. They were weak, and they were not patient, and some were blatantly misusing the Lord's Supper, and misusing their spiritual gifts, and confused about the resurrection, and so many things in this letter. But he's honest, and he's not afraid to tell the truth. He does, as a faithful servant, preaches the word of God. It's not his opinion. It's not his word. He's not the boss. He's not the CEO. It's not his opinion that counts. See, that's the background. So now you understand verse 1 better, I think. Let a man so account of us, so think of us, so see and view us, let the men so view us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, that's quite a bit to talk about this morning in the first thought. The first thought will be longer than the second thought. It's quite a handful here. A man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. What is that? And the stewards of the mysteries of God. So let's talk about ministers and stewards and mysteries. The Apostle Paul is saying, sorry, I can't preach another gospel. I can't preach another Jesus. I can't bring you another message. I'm just a minister of Christ. He told me to. Like in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, for he that cometh preaches another Jesus. It's possible. It's possible that people preach another Jesus. They preach Jesus, but a different Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted. So the Apostle Paul does not want to preach another gospel, another spirit. So he must be faithful and says, let the men so account of us as of the ministers. Minister. There are, I think, six different words in the New Testament translate with minister. Some means slave, and some means official and servant. And this originally means under rower. Under rower. What's that? Well, in those big ships in those days, the galleys, in the hull were benches. There were holes in the side with oars, and they were rowing. Sometimes 300, 400, 500 on a bench, and all the same time rowing. Under rowers. Sometimes 10, 20, 30, 50 people in the hull of the ship rowing on command. And when that ship went the wrong way, would you blame the rowers? Of course not. They did not hold the rudder. They did not put up the sails. They did not do anything wrong. They just did what they were supposed to do, to row. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm just rowing. I'm an under rower. An under rower of Christ. I'm not responsible. I'm just a rower. I have my hands on the oars, and I just keep preaching the word. Keep preaching the word. That same word of God all the time. And where are we going, and what's happening? I don't know. I just row. So let the men so account of us as of the rowers, the under rowers of Christ. So Christ is at the rudder, Christ is calling to row, and they just obey. Now, I'm not sure if that original meaning, under rower, was still felt those days of the Apostle Paul. But anyway, it has that meaning, the meaning of unconditional obedience. Being an official, an officer, a servant in that sense. Just obey, not changing the truth. Not giving in to people. Even not when people indicated that they had a desire for something else. As Paul said, I am a minister of Christ. I just row. I can't do anything about it. If you don't like it, I just am a minister only. You shouldn't talk to me. You should talk to him who has called me. So let the man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. So there is something between Christ and the ministers, the underlords. God has called them. God has said, I want you to be an underlord. I give you the privilege of being in the hull of the ship, sit on the bench, put your hands on the oars, and just row. That's your blessing, that's your responsibility. And keep doing it, and be faithful in rowing. Keep preaching the word. Don't change anything. Don't try to make it different. Don't try to please the people. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Christ, the anointed one, the prophet, the priest, the king. And stewards of the mysteries of God, stewards. I don't think we use the word steward that often anymore. Maybe stewardess, the flight attendant in the plane, kind of helping out, right, as a steward, stewardess. So the male ones, the male flight attendants are stewards, right? In the original word, it says oikonomos. Oikonomos. Householder. Householder. Manager. Housekeeper. Treasurer. So that affluent Jewish people had land and lots of property, they appointed a steward. And that steward did not own any land and did not own any equipment and did not own any property on the land. But he managed things. He paid the bills and he fed the people and he did so many things, right? That's why we read from Luke 12. Verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant, steward rather, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? To give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing what? To give them their portion of meat in due season. To not only gather in the money and the harvest, but also to feed the people. They are important. You have to care for them, for the crew. So those stewards had to be also dispensers. That's why the Dutch translation has dispenser here. Dispenser of the mysteries of God. Just to share, to feed, to care. Not to own. And of course, those stewards had a responsibility. And those stewards, they were not responsible to the people working for them, but they were responsible to the master. And once a year or more, the master came and they had to open the books and to give account. And then the steward was, hopefully, faithful. And that was proof of his faithfulness. And the master said, well done, the faithful steward. So let the man so account of us as of the ministers, the under-rowers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God, as dispensers, as the people taking care of you. Something similar we find in Titus 1, verse 7 through 9. For a bishop, an overseer, must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed. Not self-willed. The Apostle Paul, he could not make his own decisions and say, I want to preach this gospel. No. It was not his business. He had to just be a steward of the mysteries of God. Just roll and care and dispense blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of a good man, sober, just, holy, tempered, holding fast the faithful word. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Quite something, be a steward. Not to make yourself rich, just be the head of the slaves. But although you're the head of the slaves, you have something to say and to dispense and to do for them, you are not the boss. You're not the owner. So the man so account of us as of the under-rowers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Mysteries. Mysterion in the Greek. 27 times in the New Testament. Something secret. Something you don't understand right away. Maybe never. Certain things so hidden. You need such a different type of wisdom to understand it. You just don't get it. But the steward is the steward of the mysteries of Christ. The mysteries of God, rather. So let me try to unpack that. What mysteries? Preachers are preaching the mysteries of God. Matthew 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto the disciples, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. So to know God and to know the kingdom, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, those are from a higher category, special, dear mysteries. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I am a steward of those mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What mysteries? Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mysteries, of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So Christ was kept secret. In the Old Testament, the Christ is in the Old Testament, right, but still vague and not so public and not so clear and not so developed. Yes, Isaiah 53, beautiful. But there are not too many of those pieces in the Old Testament. Those are the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mysteries of God and the mysteries of the kingdom. And the Apostle Paul says, and I have the privilege of preaching those mysteries who were secret, were kept secret since the world began. But now they're not so secret anymore. I may preach, I'm a steward of the mysteries of Christ. They have been so mysterious in times past, and now they're revealed more. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Before the world. Unto glory. So those mysteries go back to the eternity that has never begun. But the past, before the world unto our glory. So election, God's will from eternity, God's chosen people. Mysteries. Do you understand that? That God has chosen his church from eternity unto his glory by grace only. I don't understand that. Those are mysteries. And the Apostle Paul says, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. You know, all those texts are texts you have to just tickle your tongue and chew them and just taste them. Having made known unto us, what a wonder, unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Purposed in himself, of the will of God. But you know what the heart is of the mystery? You tell me. You know. Children, what is the mystery in the Bible? The Apostle Paul had to be a steward of the mysteries of God. What is the mystery? That is Christ. He was a steward of the mysteries of God by dispensing, by preaching Christ. He is the mystery, right? This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Because the church are members of his body. And Lord Jesus has said to his people, thou art bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. How can we understand that? That Christ and the church are so united and that Christ paid the price for them. He is the mystery. And even the Apostle Paul is struggling with that. He preaches that mystery. And he does not feel capable to be a steward of the mysteries of Christ. He feels kind of held back. He feels his incapabilities. So he prayed for that. He really prayed. He said, pray for me and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So the Apostle Paul felt kind of, it is so mysterious. It is so hidden. It's such a secret because people are so blind. And yet I am a steward of the mysteries of God. So he preaches Christ. That's the mystery. And if he would not dispense Christ, he would not be a good steward. These faithful stewards feed the people. Faithful steward, they come with food for them. With meat. Right? What it says in Luke 12? To give them their portion of meat in due season. So a faithful minister preaches Christ, preaches the food. Mysteries of Christ. So his incarnation, that he was made flesh. What a mystery. His resurrection from the dead. What a mystery. His communion with the church. The counsel of God. So many mysteries of Christ. And of God. So the Apostle Paul feels criticized, right? The one says this, the other one says that, and they've all something to say, and critical of the Apostle Paul, they say, listen, I'm only an under-over. I disrobe. And I am a steward of the mysteries of God. And I have to dispense. And moreover, it is required in a steward that the man be found faithful. So I just do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not changing the truth. I'm not preaching what you want to hear. You know that's happening today. It has happened all the time. That preachers preach what people like to hear. And that's why sometimes people go to the churches because they say, I like that better. I want to hear something else. Well, if that's the reason why people leave, that's dangerous. Because the preachers are not supposed to adjust and change the doctrine of eternal life. Ministers need to be faithful, not venturing beyond the master's commands, Hodge says, Charles Hodge says. Dispensing the truth of God revealed, God is revealed, not mixing it with speculations, not substituting the doctrines with human knowledge or wisdom. So not changing, not speculating, not mixing, but preaching the word, not to adulterate it, keep it pure. I think this is close to what we read in 2 Corinthians 5. That the Apostle Paul doesn't call himself a minister, an underruler. He doesn't call himself a steward, but he calls himself an ambassador. Now then, they are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, God did beseech you by us. What is God beseeching? We pray you, I plead with you, I beg of you, I beseech you, we pray you in Christ's stead. In Christ's stead, he is the owner. He is the captain. He is the one at the rudder of the ship. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So, that's quite something, right? That's, you're dispensing. And then you are just guiding the crew and tell them what to do today. Feeding them breakfast, but then also tell them to do what to do today. As a steward, as an ambassador, we pray you this morning, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. First Peter 4:10, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward of the manifold grace of God. And that's not only true for ministers and elders and deacons. That's true also for members. Right? That text is about more than pastors. As every man has received the gift, believers, the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the apostle is tense. Shall I come with the rod? With meekness and love. You know, how do you view me? You're criticizing me. How do you view me? I tell you, I'm just an under-oar. And I have the privilege to be a steward of the mysteries of God. And I just rejoice in that. And I have to do it in a faithful way. I'm a minister of Christ. And not a minister of Moses. Not a minister of the law. Not a minister of the people. I am a minister of Christ. See there? So the Apostle Paul is adamant that he cannot adjust the message. Let's go to the second thought. Shoulder thought. Judged by God. So the steward had to be faithful and was judged by the owner a few times a year. And so the Apostle Paul says, I am a steward and I have to be faithful. And with me, verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Very small thing to be judged by you. He doesn't say I can care less. It sounds kind of rude. But he says it has very little impact on me. You know, you say this and that and such and so, and you don't agree with things. With me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. You know, I just can't give in. I can't listen to you. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm a minister of God, of Christ, and a steward of God and the mysteries of God. So, I have to be faithful, and then you judge me. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not listening to you if it is not biblical. If it is not according to the word of the living God. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. Now, let's ask the Apostle Paul, how do you feel about that? When people criticize the heart of the gospel, when people criticize the free offer of grace, when people criticize the election from eternity, when people criticize the Trinity, when people criticize those things that are so clear in the Bible, he says, well, it's sad, but it does not affect me. It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. With you or people or... No. Now, some people have characters. They call them not so agreeable. Some people are very agreeable, and some people are very disagreeable. Some people, they make no problems whatsoever. They just bent over backwards all the time. And others are just always disagreeing to start with. You know, we have different characters, and that's fine. But the Apostle Paul, he says, criticizing the Word of God doesn't do anything to me. That's very little thing. Is that not pride? How does it come across? And people say, I don't care what you say. I'm right anyway. I know I'm right. I judge myself, okay? You should not judge me. Other people should not judge me. I can judge myself. That's pride, isn't it? Often pride. Especially if it's not only being critical, but also that attitude in there. That attitude of, I know it better than you do. And the Apostle Paul, he says something strange. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. So he doesn't say, I judge you and I'm right. I judge myself rather. No, he says, you're not my judges and you're not my judges. And I am not my own judge either. Who judges me is God. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. So, the Apostle Paul, in a certain sense, does not feel guilty. Not feeling guilty. For I know nothing by myself. He's saying, for I know nothing of myself. I don't know anything of being wrong. I don't know to be wrong in those things. I know nothing by myself, of myself. Now, that's strange. The Apostle Paul sounds kind of cocky and proud. No, I don't think so. He does not say that he's perfect. In other places, he admits, I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. I'm a sinner. I have been a persecutor of the church. I'm not an innocent person at all. He knows his sins quite well. But that's not the issue. The issue is the gospel. What the gospel is like. And he says, the gospel regarding the gospel, I know I'm preaching the full counsel of God. I'm honest. I don't hold back. I don't listen to you. I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. And I have a free conscience in that. I'm not an innocent person in general, but in this, I don't see my fault. I don't see that I'm wrong. I know nothing of myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? So I know the fact that I don't see it does not justify me, but he that justifies me is God. The judge me is God. You know, I see a beautiful combination of humility and yet firmness and faithfulness. So he is faithful. He knows what he's talking about. He is not afraid of people. He's not judging himself. Beautiful. So whenever we disagree with people on spiritual things, let us listen to this and say, I see it this way. I really see it this way, but also bring that in a loving and humble way. Not only the rod, but with love. So the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians in such a loving and firm way. You know, sometimes parents do the same thing, right? They say no. In love, firm. Because in a sense, everyone is a steward of the mysteries of God. Also your families. Fathers, mothers, you're also in a small sense, in a certain sense, stewards. And responsible. And you have to put your foot down and say, no, that's not right. And when children and young people and teenagers criticize you, you say, I'm a steward. I'm an under-rower. It's not my word. It's not my law. It's not my gospel. So he is not judging himself. It's not easy. It's not pleasant to discipline. But the Apostle Paul yet does it as a minister of God. He is not angry, but adamant. And there is love behind that. So therefore, verse 5, therefore that means for the reasons mentioned before, because I'm a steward, and I am not judged by you, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man, he means the preachers, the faithful preachers, have praise of God. Our third thought. First we sing. So some in the congregation of Corinth did not accept the Apostle Paul and disagreed with his message. And the Apostle Paul said, sorry, I am an under-rower. I am a steward of the mysteries of God. And don't judge me. If you judge me, whatever. If you judge me, I don't even judge myself. Let us wait for God to judge. And God is judging not only when people die. That's preliminary. That's just for the time being. So when people die, they have to give account. They come to the gate of heaven and they are let in or stand outside and be damned. But there is also a final judgment day. Final judgment day. And that is what the Apostle Paul refers to. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. The time. The day. The time until the Lord come. Because the Lord Jesus came already on earth in his human nature, but he left also, right? And he is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again. Unreal, huh? The Lord Jesus someday will come again, and all the cemeteries will be busy, and all the graves will be opened, and everyone, not only God's people, everyone will be raised from the dead. And I see a crowd of people before the throne of God, the white throne, all the people, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. That is what the Apostle Paul refers to. And that day, that time to come, that resurrection, is quite a part of his message. There's not somewhere in the margin, but often he talks about that. That's a major issue for him. Let me show you. Already in 1 Corinthians 1, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? To be blameless in the day. Think about that. When the day comes. And to stand blameless before God. Because the Lord has forgiven you. And the Lord has sanctified you to be blameless in the day of our Lord. It's his day. His precious day. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul says, don't judge me, wait. Just wait until he comes. He will open it up. He will show us who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. The counsels of the heart, even when people have been talking. Good things. And living good things. Their heart. Far from me. That's even possible for preachers and elders and deacons and parents and attenders of the Lord's Supper. He will open it up to make manifest public the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Hope to come back to that. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3. Remember the building of hay and stubble? And for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire is coming. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And later in 1 Corinthians 7, but I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, etc. To be kind of disconnecting with his life. Because the day is approaching. The day is coming. Thy kingdom come. And what is the relationship between preaching and faithful preaching and that day? Well, you see it in our text. The Apostle Paul says, I will be judged for my preaching in that day. But I also see that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that is the second coming, right? The terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I will stand for that throne, you know. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuading men. He feels that pressure of preaching the gospel, the word of God, as a steward, as a dispenser of the things, the mysteries of God, because the day is coming. And then I will be judged for my preaching, and you will be judged for what you heard, and for how you responded to that. And before him, children, you understand this. Before him, see that throne of God and the Lord Jesus, the judge, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. You go to the right, you go to the left. He shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The day there will be. I mean, there's such a separation, even in the church. For the Father judges no man, but he has committed all judgment unto the Son. So on that day the Lord Jesus will come, and he will be the judge. And he commanded us, the Apostle Paul says, he commanded us, the Lord commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it's he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, them being alive and them that have died yet. He commanded me to preach unto the people and to testify that it's he. So I have been commanded to preach unto you that for now you might be fine, but when death comes, when the final judgment comes, then all those hidden things of darkness will be made manifest, the counsels of the heart will be made manifest, and then, see, the Apostle Paul was the first day in his life on Areopagus, on Mars Hill in Athens, and people asked him to explain the doctrine because they heard something new about Jesus and the resurrection. So the Apostle Paul took this opportunity, and he was so blunt. He right away from the first sermon in this mission effort in Athens, the first time, he said, he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. So the Apostle Paul, the first time he talked to those people, talked about creation and sin and Christ and the resurrection and the judgment day. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Romans 2, verse 16. And there's much more. Think about it. Young people, try to visualize this afternoon. Maybe you have some time to meditate. Sit back in your chair and close your eyes and just think what they'll be like. Judgment day. The goats and the sheep separated. And then the books open, and the Lord judging your heart. And then think of the reward for the faithful stewards. And then shall every man have praise of God. And in the context, that must mean, right, every man saved and every man holding on to that mystery of God in Christ shall have praise of God. Praise of God. Know that the Lord is praising the person, saying, well, in a way it is. Thou faithful servant, come in into the joy of the Lord. You remember that expression, right? To enter into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Whose joy? Of the Lord. What does it mean? From the Lord? Or is the Lord rejoicing? Entering into the joy of the Lord. Well, he is. He's rejoicing. Christ is, the Father is, rejoicing that that joy was set before him, right? Lord Jesus was showed the salvation of his church, set before him, the joy set before him. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going. For that joy set before him, the cross, the shame, it didn't matter. That was the purpose. That they may enter into his joy. So he will rejoice in his people, and they will rejoice in him. So, the day is coming. And many have rejected Christ, esteemed him not. They have been close to it, and they have heard the word of the under-rowers, and they have been served with the food and drink by the dispensers of the mysteries of Christ and God. But they were not hungry, not thirsty. They will have no praise of God. They will be sent away in a darkness. Or therefore judge nothing before the time. Just hold back. Be careful. Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light. He will bring to light. So then others may also know that you have been a deceiver your whole life. Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. What's going on in the heart? The sinful thoughts, the worldly thoughts, not hating sin, not loving God. So the Apostle Paul is honest. Let's go to verse 20. And again, no, that is 3 verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, remember? All are yours. Even death, all are yours. And you're Christ's, and Christ is God. So that's the message. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of God and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Dispensers. Have I been dispensing this morning? Have I been reaching out to the unconverted ones and to others? Have I preached to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the mysteries of the gospel? I hope I did. That full counsel of God, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you seek refuge in Him. When you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the Lord opens the heart to those mysteries of the kingdom, you will entering in and share in that praise of God. And if not, it will be only your own fault, and you will only be able to blame yourself for not being willing, but for being so foolish of preferring this world over God. Amen.